Good morning to everyone. In Larry's absence, I will be presenting the lesson this morning and also in this evening. This morning's lesson I titled The Preeminence of Jesus, and tonight we'll be looking at the attitudes of the believer in tonight's lesson. I apologize for the first slide. It says 12:19. It's 12:16 today. I was thinking of phase treatment, and that was on my mind while I was preparing this particular lesson. So with that, we are going to be looking at the preeminence of Jesus. We're going to look at, first of all, a definition, what preeminence is. Secondly, we're going to look at Jesus Christ's relationship to the universe. Third item we're going to be looking at is Jesus Christ's relation to the unseen world. Next item we're going to look at is Jesus Christ's relation to the church, his church. And finally, we're going to summarize all these together. With that, I'd like to start off with a definition of what preeminence is. According to the Oxford Dictionary, it's the fact of surpassing all others or superiority. And I got this from Strong's Concordance that the word preeminence in Greek, it's protuteo, which means to have first place. Well, when you read the Bible, we find out that Jesus does have preeminence in all things. We see that he's superior, he's preeminent over everyone and everything. But where does this preeminence come from? In Colossians chapter 1, verses 18, we read that he is the head of the body, the church. And he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he will come to have first place in everything. So he's superior. He's first. He's overall. That's from the New American Standard Bible. To understand the way preeminence is used, I'll go to the New International Version. And it says that, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. So he's over everyone and everything. And the New King James Version of Colossians 1 verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the first born from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. So when you study preeminence, the way I do is I'll go to different translations and see what they have as far as that particular verse. And we see that in the New American Standard Bible, he is the first place of everything. In the New International Version, he has supremacy over all things. And in the New King James, we see as he has preeminence. So it's good to go look at different translations if you're not familiar with Greek or Hebrew, so that you may understand the way some of these Greek and Hebrew words are translated, to understand what these things are. And Scott had read for us Colossians 1 verses 16 to 20, and I'd like to reread that. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He's before all things, and in him all things are held together. He is also the head of the body of the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of the cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. So Jesus Christ is the head of all. He is with God. He is God. And he also sacrificed his life on the cross of Calvary for the sins of mankind, for your sins and for mine, so that we may have the opportunity to be with God in heaven, provided we do his will, provided we live a Christian life, provided we keep God's commandments, and not just some, but all of his commandments. So going back to verses 16 and 17 in Colossians chapter 1. For by him all things were created. And in the later part of that verse we see all things have been created through him and for him. He's before all things, and in him all things are held together. So this is Jesus, who has preeminence over all. Preeminence over creation. Preeminence over the world, preeminence over the church. All things were created by him. He's the creator. We see in John chapter 1 and verse 3, all things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. He is with God at the beginning. The Hebrew writer says in chapter 1 and verse 2, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. Again, a reference to Christ Jesus, who was with God from the beginning, who created all things. Men rejected him. When Jesus was here on earth and he was teaching and performing miracles and signs and wonders, the people of that time didn't accept that because it was contrary to what their traditions were. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have clearly been seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they were without excuse. You look around us today. He created everything that we have. Even the very air we breathe, he gave us that. By his grace, he gave us that. So when you put it in perspective, he's the creator. Jesus has preeminence over creation because he's before all things. He already existed. In John chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1, John says, "What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life." And that is the Christ. He was with his apostles for 3.5 years. He ate with them. He taught them. He showed them miracles. And yet, in Acts chapter 1, when he appeared to them, they thought he was going to establish an earthly kingdom. Where were they for 3.5 years when Jesus was with them? Where are we today when we read the Bible? We just have the inspired word that was given to us via the writers of the Bible, yet we believe. And that's what we as Christians should do. Believe in God's Word. He existed from the beginning. He was the Word. The Word was with God. He also told the Jews, "Before Abraham was born, I am." We find that in John chapter 8, verse 58. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am." He didn't say, "I was." I am. He's constant from before creation to the present and also to the future. We read in the Bible that Jesus is the Alpha and Omega, the first and last. We find that in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8. "I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." Again in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 13, we read, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and last, the beginning and the end." We have, as being created, we have a time we were born, a time we're going to die. We have a limit. There's no limit to God. There's no limit to Jesus Christ. He always is. Before creation, during the time that we know, before, present, and past, and also in the future. Jesus is always there, and he will be constant. Another item we like to look at, Jesus' preeminence over creation, in that all things are held together. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up." Jesus is going to return again. And what we know as the earth eventually will be destroyed. Won't exist anymore. We have an opportunity to serve him. We have an opportunity now to worship him. We have an opportunity now to follow his commandments. What are we doing as Christians today? Are we living up to his standards? Or are you imposing your own standards? When you go before the judgment seat, are you going to argue before the Lord that you used your own standards? Or are you going to comply to the Lord's standards? I know by his grace and mercy, we are going to be saved. Not by what we do here on this earth, but yet he expects us to project him in our lives, no matter what the cost. No matter the cost of losing your jobs, losing your health, or you're losing your life. Stand up for Jesus. It's interesting to reflect upon the past, the first century Christians who undergone many trials in their lives, and they stood up for Jesus no matter what the cost. They were killed for their faith. Are you willing to stand with them? I know we're fortunate to live in a country that allows us the freedom to practice and worship God. But let's say you were in a different area of the world that didn't allow this to happen. Would you worship God? Would you put God first? Question that we have to wrestle and have to understand. But yet when the time comes, are you willing to stand up no matter what it costs? In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, the writer said, "He is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature," talking about Jesus, "and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he has made the purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." So Jesus has a preeminent place. And that is to sit on God's right hand. He's the exact representation of God. So back in the day when Jesus was here and he was walking the earth and talking to people, performing miracles, people rejected him. His own countrymen wanted him dead because he was upsetting their traditions. Put that in today's environment that we live. There's people that want to put down the Lord. Are you standing up for him? Are you defending him? Are you using the scriptures to point out their error? We have to use our scriptures to study and understand what our role is in his service. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, "For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him." Everything exists through Christ Jesus. When you put that in its proper perspective, we see that he should be number one in all things. What about the unseen world? His throne is forever and ever. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. "And when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, 'And let all the angels of God worship him.' And of the angels, he says, who makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. But of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. And the righteous scepter is the scepter of his kingdom. So he's the firstborn of the world. And his throne is forever and ever. A lot of people in today's world don't recognize that. But there's going to be a day coming, a day of judgment for them. And they're going to see that his throne is forever and ever. He's exalted. And he should be by every creature on earth. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 21, far above all, rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named not only in this age, but also in the age to come. Everyone should praise the Lord. Everyone should be thankful for his coming. Everyone should be grateful for that sacrifice he made on the cross for our sins. Everyone should praise and bow down before him. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. Being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. He died for our sins, but he died a humiliating death on the cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So today, when people in the world don't accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, there's going to be a day coming when they're going to recognize and every knee will bow before him and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We have a great opportunity today to do that by observing his commandments, by doing his will, by striving to be a God-fearing child of God. And he sits at the right hand of the Father. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 21 to 22, corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven after angels and authorities and powers have been subjected to him. So Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of God. The next section is Jesus Christ is the head of the church. In Colossians 1 and verse 18, he is also the head of the church, and he's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will have first place in everything. He's the head. He's in charge. He's the boss. You have to do his will. Not your will. That's, and supersede that, but do his will. He's the source for the church. He chose us before the foundation of the world. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love. He gives us every spiritual blessing, and also every physical blessing comes from him. We don't earn it ourselves. He gives it to us. We may think we earn it, but we don't. Everything comes from him. His sacrificial death and resurrection on our behalf provided Christians a new life. A life that eventually will give us the opportunity to heaven. We also see, as the head of the body, Jesus holds the chief position or the highest rank in the church. You listen to him. If you had a job and you were working, your boss said, come and do this, you do it, you get paid. Well, Jesus' job is the head of the church. He expects us to follow his commandments, not to deviate from them, not to change them, but to do as he says. We also see in our reading that Jesus is the firstborn from the dead. Colossians again, 1 verse 18. He is also the head of the body of the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn of the dead. He was raised from the dead. He died on the cross and was buried. And 3 days later, he rose again. He rose and defeated death. Jesus is the preeminent one. Again, the last part of verse 18 in Colossians chapter 1, he himself will have the first place in everything. New American Standard, New NIV says he has supremacy over all. And the New King James Version says that he's preeminent. So with that, we looked at what preeminence was, and Jesus is Lord. He is superior to all, and he's the only one to listen to and obey. If you listen to anyone else, you're not going to be approved of God. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 11, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Everyone on earth is going to say that in time of judgment. Some people today may not say it, but we as Christians do. We give God the glory. We assemble together to encourage one another, also to pray to God, to glorify God in songs and hymns. Jesus Christ's relationship to the universe. Jesus is the creator of all things. He's the source for all things. All things emanate from him. And he's the sustainer of all things. So everything comes from Jesus. To the unseen world, Jesus sits at the right hand of God. We see that every knee, everyone should praise him and bow down before him. His throne is forever and ever, and everyone should exalt Jesus. In relation to the church, Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus Christ deserves all our attention, our obedience, our worship, our fear, our love, and our praise. No matter what the world is doing, Christians should give Jesus the preeminence in their life. If you're not a Christian this morning, we'd like to invite you up and take that step and be baptized into Jesus' church. And if you're an erring child of God and you need our help and support and prayers, please come up as today as we stand and sing this song.